Just going to read some verses from the Old Testament, from the prophet Joel. Who can tell me what today is? Pentecost. Fantastic. Apart from the 8th of June. Pentecost. It is Pentecost. So today is the birthday of the church. Not your church or our church, but the church. The birthday of the church. And so we're going to be thinking about that a bit later. The birthday of the church. And so we're going to read from Joel chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 28. So Joel chapter 2, beginning of verse 28. And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young women will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. So we're going to be thinking about the birthday of the church. We're going to look at Acts chapter 2 a bit later. That was the prophecy that Peter talks about a bit later on. Perhaps I'll just start by sharing a few thoughts from our trip to Uganda and then move on to God's word. So, did I tell you last time that I cocked up Claire's visa application? Did I tell you that? No, okay, so we had to prepare electronic visas before we left the country. And I'd done this, unfortunately, I've made a mistake on Claire's application, which had been accepted. It had the wrong date of birth on there. So I was quite anxious about us going to Uganda, about this situation, because you had the wrong date. And I tried to resolve it, but I hadn't resolved it. And got to the airport, and everything was fine, everything was great, and we flew off to Uganda. And then got to Uganda, still concerned about the fact that we're going to have the wrong date of birth on our visa, and we just sailed through, and everything was fine. In fact, Claire has now got a new date of birth on her visa in her book. She has a new birth date, not a new birthday. You know, as a nation, it's a spiritual nation, it's a nation which, it's a godly nation. You know, there's many people who really are Christians, and wherever we went, whoever we spoke to, everybody were Christians. It was great. It's not like this country, because they have so little, particularly there is a middle class that's coming up, but they have so little. And yet, what they have, they're just so grateful to God. It's a troubled nation, but it's also a beautiful nation. And we had a great time. We did a bit of a safari, and we saw elephants and giraffes, and we saw all these different animals. Didn't see any big cats, but then we did see crocodiles and hippopotamuses fighting, and that was good fun. We stayed in a lodge right on the River Nile. And you weren't allowed to go from the restaurant back to your cabin unless you had a ranger with you with a gun and a whistle and a light. Otherwise, you could come in contact with a crocodile or a hippopotamus. And so they were there to stop you from being killed. It was a good time. Saw the work that Emily's doing with the refugees, saw the work that Matt's doing in the project. That's Emily's our daughter. Matt's her husband. It was good to spend family time and just to see what God is doing. And God's doing a great work. And many of the ladies, particularly ladies that Emily's working with, I mean, there's a few accounts on YouTube just sharing about their healing from trauma, from just the counselling that she's been able to do. So it's been really positive. So it was a good time. And we didn't get stopped and we made it. And And I didn't get bitten once. But Claire got bitten hundreds of times. That was great fun. That was. Although, we stayed in this one place where we had an aircon. She wanted it 16 degrees at night. I was cold. So yeah, Uganda, it's a nation which is really positive and blessed and also challenged. Recently, I was going through my father's papers. My father passed away in 2018. I was going through, and I found some birth certificates of my grandfather and great-grandfather going back to the late 1800s. It was quite exciting to read all these different things. And that sort of spurred me to think about the fact that today, being the church's birthday, Pentecost Sunday, or Whit Sunday, where we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 1, Dr. Luke, he recounts Jesus' appearance with his followers and what he said. He said, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then we, in Acts chapter 2, we read, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a noise like a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And tongues that looked like fire appeared on them, distributing themselves, and a tongue rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with different tongues as the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak out. Now the Jews residing in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven, and when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and they were bewildered because each one of them was there hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all of these who you are speaking Galileans? Are not all of those who are speaking Galileans? And how is that each hear from it, hear them in his own language to which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others were jeering and saying, they are full of sweet wine. You see, the day of Pentecost in the Bible was the Jewish celebration. The Jewish celebration of, I don't know if I can pronounce this right, Shavuot. Somebody else can say it better than me. But it's now separate. Pentecost is 50 days after Easter. Shavuot was 50 days after the first day of Passover. But on that day, it was the same day because it was the first day. It was the day when God outpoured his Spirit. You see, the Pentecostals didn't invent Pentecost. Okay? Pentecost revival in the UK, however, started in 1907 at an Anglican church in Sunderland. And the vicar there was a guy called Alexander Boddy. And since then, it's been associated with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, gifts of the Spirit, and so on. Now, I've got two connections, quite tenuous, with Sunderland. One is those birth certificates I was saying about, my dad and his dad and everything, they were all born in Sunderland. So they are Mackhams. I'm not. I wasn't born there, but my father and my grandfather were both. Well, all those sides of the family were born in Sunderland. Secondly, I come from a Pentecostal tradition, saved in the Mount of Olives in Colford, not the one in Jerusalem, in November 1989. Baptised in water in 1990 and baptised in the Holy Spirit. Don't have a date for that, but when God went to a youth meeting, it was wonderful. I had an amazing time, and that night, lying in bed, I just felt the presence of God in my room, and it was awesome, and started to pray in another language, you know, just sense God's presence. It was awesome. You see, the outpouring that happened in Acts chapter 2 was a fulfillment of the prophet Joel, which we read earlier. We read earlier the outpouring of the Spirit. And in those last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will have dreams. We can tell who was the young and the old men. I still have dreams. Anybody have visions? No, sorry, I have visions. No, going wrong way round, didn't I? Wrong way round. You see, Peter was very clear that this was the fulfillment of the prophecy. This man who had denied Jesus three times was a preacher proclaiming with all boldness the coming of the Holy Spirit and the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus. He was proclaiming the wonders of God. And the difference was the presence and the power and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Yes, he'd been restored by Jesus on the beach when he'd met with Jesus. And Jesus had said to him, "You know, Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "You know I love you. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you." But Peter hadn't said. Jesus had said to Peter, "Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me as God?" Peter said, "I love you as a brother." "Peter, do you love me as God?" "Peter, I love you." Peter, "I love you as a brother." Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" And he changes it to the same words that Peter uses. Peter says, "You know I love you." But that day of Pentecost, that day when Peter was in the upper room with the 120, they reckon there was about 500 people who were actually told to wait in Jerusalem, but only 120 stayed the length of time, and they were the ones that received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And as a result of Peter's preaching, Peter said to them, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So then, those who had received his word and were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Amazing! The birth of the church. Here we see in Acts chapter 2. Started with 12 disciples. 120 in that upper room. The Holy Spirit was outpoured. 3,000 new souls. Today, we have no idea. No idea. There's a phrase people use. Lies, damn lies and statistics. You can make those statistics say what you want to say. How do you describe what a Christian is? How do you describe and how do you write that down and so on? Today we have no idea. Many have tried to destroy the church over the centuries. I remember clearly watching a video. Remember videos? It wasn't even a DVD. It was a video of a pastor called Samuel Lamb. I don't know if anybody's heard of him. He was a famous pastor in the house church in China. He had a famous phrase saying, "More persecution, more growth." More persecution, more growth. Every time he went into prison, he came out, his church had grown because of the persecution. He died in 2007. He was 88 years of age. He'd been in prison umpteen times. And the church in China has grown massively. I'm just using that as an example, but we can take other countries where the church has been persecuted and persecuted. We can think of some of the places like North Korea and where it's number one persecution. I mean, we had an Open Doors came to a church in Lydney and they did a Sunday night prayer meeting. And when we all came to the prayer meeting, it was treated like it was in a country where Christianity was forbidden. And so the lights were off. You went through the back door. There was no lights on. There were little candles in the church. You had to keep your voices down because you didn't want to disturb, and so on. It was all about how the persecuted church live and act and do things. And it was quite challenging to see around the world just so many, because there was a big map on the floor and all the different places around the world where persecution is rife. The church has been attacked and been attacked and been attacked, and yet it has grown and grown and grown, and lives have been transformed. In the Nicene Creed, it says, "I believe in one Catholic and Apostolic Church." There's only one church. Now, when it says Catholic, it's not talking about Father, what's his name, up the road, and the other Father around the corner. It's not talking about those churches. It just means the church. Catholic means the... I'm not sure the exact definition, but anyway, the bottom line is it doesn't mean that. Okay? It means us. It's talking about us as church. But there is only one church. Yeah? And it's not Baptist. No, I'm just joking. There's only one church. There's one church. You know, we can have lots of different labels, different emphases, different worship styles, different traditions, but providing we love Jesus, providing we've been born again, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. We are one church, church of the firstborn, church of the redeemed, church of those who have been born again. The church is God's idea, not man's. The church is God's idea. Not man's. And that's really, really important. You know, people can think it that you know, you look at some of these mega churches where you have, you know, this person, male or female, who's the anointed leader and so on, and they can get into error because they become too puffed up and too big and too... There's one church and it's God's church. I don't know if you've had this, but people say to me, can I be a Christian and not be part of a church? Well, technically, the answer is yes, but it's very, very hard. I remember as a young Christian being taught the analogy of the blacksmith. We don't see blacksmiths anymore, do we, so much? You know, blacksmith's coals, and they're all white hot, and then one coal falls out of that fire onto the ground and gradually goes cold and black. And because it's not in it. You know, there's so much. You see, I would ask that person who says to me, can I be a Christian and not be part of the church? Why? Why? Why do you want? Why do you not want to be part of the church? I mean, this morning, I'm not physically a member of this church. Yet, just the sense of God's presence and the oneness and just that we're one. Why would you not want to be part of God's church? We're not created to be isolated. We're created to be part of a church. Some people have had bad experiences, yes. Some people say it's boring. I don't think you could say it's boring. Certainly not here. Some say I don't fit in. Yeah? Don't fit in. Others, I've got other things to do. I don't want to go to church. But why? This is wonderful. This is just a little infinitesimally small bit of what heaven is going to be like. Heaven's going to be amazing. We've talked about heaven before. It's amazing. It's going to be wonderful. The presence of God is going to be glorious. And we're all going to go if we love the Lord Jesus. No second-rate journey. And it's going to be wonderful. We have a taster on earth, called the church, where we spend time together in God's presence. You see, the church should be like a hospital. People are healed. You know, it was wonderful this morning just to allow God's presence to come. People to be healed and to be cared for and to be treated with love. To be like a school where we receive education and training in the things of God. But much more than that, that corporate anointing, when we come together and we meet with God together, there's something special. You know, we can spend our times at home with God, and that's great. And I'm sure we can all talk about the times we spend at home or spend with God. You might be a person who walks through the forest and encounters God as you walk through the forest or whatever, but it's that corporate anointing, that special anointing that God comes when he comes by His Spirit. I've been speaking for many years in a little church in Tintern. Unfortunately, the church leaders passed away now, a couple of weeks ago, and the church has shrunk to maybe 4 or 5 people. And yet, coming together with those 4 or 5 people, in God's presence, God turns up. God turns up. He's wonderful and He's glorious. The church should be like a family. Each one of us treated equally. All are included. A place of safety. A place for everyone. I love rugby. I'm sad that Gloucester didn't make it into the semi-finals. We were robbed by those horrible people from Bath. But it was a great semi-final yesterday and the day before to see. But rugby, the thing about rugby I think is so amazing is whatever shape, size, height, or whatever you are, there's a position for you. I was always a flanker in a props body. Okay. You probably, so if you don't know what rugby is, then you don't get that joke, but that's okay. I was always too good looking to be a prop, always too intelligent to be a prop. But anyway, but the point is that whoever we are, there is a place for you. That's the wonderful thing about rugby. But even more importantly, in church, there's a place for each one of us here in God's family, in God's body. There's a place for each one of us. And Paul talks about that many times, about the fact that, you know, the body of Christ, each one of us are part, that those parts of the body which are, he calls them uncomely in the King James, they are the ones we should treat with the most respect. There's a famous joke, I'll just pre-warn you for this one, all right? Have you heard about the Pentecostal who went to heaven? And he's walking through the pearly gates with Peter. And he comes to this first room and there's tambourines outside. And Peter says, oh, that's the Salvation Army. Right? Comes a bit further. And he says, oh, I can hear the sploshing, that's the Baptists. Comes to the third room, you can hear all these people praising God and singing in tongues. Says, be quiet. That's the Pentecostal. They don't think anybody else is here. I say that about my own, you know, where I come from. But the point is that, you know, there was a few years ago, there was a, who likes jigsaws? Anyone like jigsaws? Jigsaws, okay. My wife likes jigsaws. I like jigsaws to a degree, but she's got a lot more patience than me when it comes to jigsaws. And she's doing this, so what I do, bad, with confession time, is sort of part way through the jigsaw, and she's left it alone, I take a piece and hide it. She finishes the jigsaw and says, oh, there's a piece missing. I go, yeah, here it is, and put it in. You see, whether we are, whatever label we have, there's a place in that jigsaw of God. The Assemblies of God had this picture of this big jigsaw. That's where I got it from. Big jigsaw. And each had a different Baptist, Pentecostal, Elim, and so on. And there was a piece missing. And that was the... So each one of us are part of God's church. Anybody remember Forrester Blaze? So I was part of Forrester Blaze. We were part of the evangelism team, and we did a load of work in Little Dean. There was two churches, the URC and St. Ethelbert's, and we were doing some evangelism there, and we would meet there on a Monday for prayer, and our prayer meetings were always very exuberant and lots of noise, this lady called Mary, her name was Mary, she was about 4'8". Little small lady, and she eventually said, oh, don't you lot ever shut up. Well, she said it, I'll never forget. We went, no. And so we were all quiet before God and just sensing God's presence. It was wonderful. We haven't done that before because we're always loud and praying and so on. But you see, the biggest threat to church, the biggest threat is not external. It's not the persecution. It's not the fact that the world hates us. It's internal. Biggest threat to the church is internal. You see, the world mocks our disunity. The devil loves our disunity as it keeps so many people out of the kingdom of God. In John 17:22, John says this, the glory which you have given me, Jesus saying this, I also have given to them so that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that you may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and you loved me just as you loved me. The Apostle Paul spoke often about unity. He starts his letters to the Corinthians. Now I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there are no divisions among you, but that you may be complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. In Ephesians 4, speaks to a lot keeping about the unity of the Spirit. The whole chapter is about unity. In Psalm 133, verse 1, we see the blessing of unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to live together in unity. You see, unity doesn't mean we all agree on everything. Okay, whose favourite colour is blue? You've got to react today. It's called interaction. Whose favourite? Nobody else likes blue?
Yeah, I do.
Well, you put your hand up then, come on. Blue. Anybody else like red? Ugh. Yellow. Green. Ugh. See, why don't you all like blue like me? Hey, what is wrong with you? Hey? Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. One. That's the thing. We don't all agree. It can be good when we disagree, providing it's done in a way where iron sharpens iron, where we learn from one another. But it can go wrong. I love the Bible. It's got warts and all. It's clearly not written by men. The Apostle Paul fell out massively with Barnabas, big time. After their falling out, Barnabas is never mentioned. They fell out big time. We're talking proper, you know. George Whitfield and John Wesley had a very severe disagreement about the difference between... John Wesley was an Arminian and Whitfield was a Calvinist, and they fell out publicly about this. Reporters were loving it because it was the scandal of the day. And they said to Mr. Whitfield, "Mr. Whitfield, will you see Mr. Wesley in heaven?" And Whitfield said, "I'm not sure." And everybody thought, "Oh, great. Fantastic. Scandal." And then he said, "Because I will be so far at the back and he'll be so near the throne." And completely destroyed all their scandal. But you see, whatever the situation, there's always a way back. Whatever the challenge, there's always a back. However bad the situation... You know, I don't know. Do you ever watch these programs on telly? Or these films? I like happy endings, all right? You know, when I was a kid and I watched a film and there wasn't a happy ending, I had to make one up when I'd gone to bed. Because I hate everything. Anyway, and there's these films where the two people who are in love and they're clearly in love and they're right for each other and something happens and it's like, oh, we can never be together. No, you can. There's always a way back. No, stop it. There's always a way back. It's in the manual. God has given us this amazing manual for life. I don't want to belittle. People have had major hurts and pains and issues. But forgiveness and repentance and humility and love, all of these things can bring healing and restoration, whatever the situation in church. Question. Okay, I'm going to say this to myself because I don't want to. Have I ever thought I was wrong? I might be wrong. That's hard, isn't it? It's so infrequent that I'm wrong. I've actually kept a log of all the incidents. The last time I was wrong, 23rd of July, 2006. No. I'm wrong on a daily basis. So I'm told by my wife. I'm wrong on a daily basis. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. The Holy Spirit is a he. He is not an it. He's the convictor of sin. He's the convincer who points us to Jesus. He's the comforter who's always with us. The comforter abides with us. He is a still, small voice that says, "You haven't read your Bible today. Don't do that. It's sin. He's the one who says, God loves you. You're his child. This is the way to go. On honeymoon in 1994, I went into the sea to swim. My lovely bride, for 3 days, was lying on the beach reading her book. I went into the sea because it was nice and cooling in Newquay. And suddenly, I realised my wedding ring had come off my finger in the sea. But being a mighty man of faith, and I know the story of Elijah causing the axe-head to, in the name of Jesus, I command you to rise. Nothing. I thought, right, okay, I really believe if I dive down, I'm going to find the ring. So I dived down, didn't find the ring. Got back. No, I really, really believe. I really have got the faith to believe. And I dived down, didn't find the ring. Did this 4 or 5 times until I came to realisation I was not finding that ring. So I trudged out. Claire, I've lost my wedding ring. She said, oh, okay. I've just been reading in this book about when things happen, this is the way I'm supposed to react. So she reacted in a really positive way. And I didn't get scolded and we got another ring on the way. But the point was, God had already prepared the way for me. Only a little, just a little example. This morning. Okay, these are my beloved earbuds. Okay. Sony. Expensive. I lost them yesterday. Taking these children to the Noah's Ark farm park. Couldn't think where I could possibly have lost them. And then I thought, so I'd hired a minibus from 5 Acres. I dropped a guy off at the Catholic Church in Colford and just had this thought, well, why don't you try going up to 5 Acres now? Shut. It's shut. They're not open until Monday. Drove up there. And they were just opening the minibuses and all the things that had been dropped off from hire. And I said to them, oh, any chance, I think I've lost my earbuds in the minibus. They had a search. No, sorry. Got back in the car. Just as I was leaving, the light comes. I found them. I'm sure, I believe the Holy Spirit prompted me to go this morning. You see, he's interested in the small things in our lives. God is interested in the small things. You might think they're insignificant, but God is interested in those things. He is your comforter. He is your counselor. He is your convincer. He is your convictor. He's the one who abides. The Holy Spirit abides with us. On that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was outpoured, the birth of the church, he's here. The Holy Spirit is here. The Bible tells us when 2 or 3 are gathered in his name, God is present. He is present. So, in conclusion, this morning we celebrate Pentecost, Whitsun, however you want to call it, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church, all the amazing good things that he brings, or it brings. One church. Many expressions, united, persecuted, flawed, but God's idea. You know, we're to rejoice with those that rejoice. We're to mourn with those that mourn. We are one body. We are one body. The church. Church. Happy birthday. Why don't we share the grace together to finish? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore. Amen. Amen.